York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, you are, and thank you. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Friday to you on this July 6th, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and we got a lot. It's for a summer Friday. We got a lot going on today, and one story that I think we're all familiar with, but it's not really a story that's a talk show story. Some stories are, what do you think? Yes or no? You've got very debatable, different opinionated type topics out there that have talk radio written all over them. This topic is a top story, and I haven't touched it because there hasn't. I don't know what to do with it, but I'm fascinated by it, like probably you are, and that is the 12 boys and their soccer coach that are stuck in that cave in Thailand, and the coach is 25 years of age. The boys are 11 to 16 years of age. Some of them cannot swim. You know the story. They're in this cave. They've been in there now for 2 weeks, and they knew they were missing, and so they sent out teams looking in the cave for them, and they found that what happened, obviously we know the story, is that the boys went in there, and at first I thought, well, why don't they just put them on boogie boards and float them out of there if they can't swim? Until you see the terrain and the fact that they're perched on this little rock shelf, which was the place that they had to keep going in deeper and deeper and deeper as the water from a monsoon was rising and rising and rising. And so they're not in danger of drowning sitting on that rock unless the water goes higher. And they're expecting monsoon rains on Sunday. So Sunday, their time, will be Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, our time sometime, is when the next monsoon rainstorm is expected to hit this area. So they're up against the wall. They have roughly 24 hours before all this gets worse. And so the cave was where which I don't understand why. I'm sure there's some of you that are cave dwellers, and they have these caves with all those little pointy things sticking out from the ceiling and from the floor, and people. I mean, that's fine if you can walk in and look around. I think it would be interesting to see in a cave like that the various formations that are made. But you see people that crawl in between rock spaces that are so narrow that they're truly squeezing through trying to get onto the other side of the rock. And I'm going, I don't like that whole idea about it. I would feel very uncomfortable. And so that's what they did, was they squeezed through some places where a human can barely get through. Sometimes they had to squeeze through and then down into a crevice and then back up again over the top of another part of the cave and up and down and up and down. And the problem is, as the monsoon rains came in, They've been pumping the water out as fast as they can. Some of the places in the cave, they are waist high. They can now walk through some of that cave to get out, but other parts of it are flooded right up to the ceiling. So you've got to hold your breath or have some sort of scuba gear to swim out. And so they're trying to teach these kids, A, how to swim, and B, how to use scuba gear. And I'm not a scuba diver, and I don't know, for those of you that are, that equipment, if you can barely squeeze through between some rocks, how are you going to get your scuba gear through as well? And they're worried about the fact that if they get them with some sort of mask, because the visibility is super bad in, under the water, and they have to feel their way around, feel the rocks, climb their way up over the top of the rocks, see where the crevice is, find that crevice, swim through it to the other part of the next part of the cave, that if the mask or any of the scuba gear catches and pulls the mask off of the face, some of these kids can panic, and then they're really in trouble. So, when I first saw this story a week or so ago, I thought, well, I'm sure they'll rescue them. I'm sure this is interesting story. But now, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And they were considering leaving the boys in the chamber, some of the local officials, to wait out the rainy season. And the rainy season is for another 4 months. So, yeah, they have been bringing in food, and they have brought in some oxygen tanks. I saw one diver. He had an oxygen tank chained to his hip on the left and chained to his hip on the right. It was kind of like a belt, a chain belt around him, and he had an oxygen tank on his left hip and one on his right hip because he had to have them. He couldn't have them on his back because that's the only way you could fit his body and the tanks through some of these little crevices in order to get to where these kids are. And then on top of all of this, you have probably seen in the news that yesterday one of their Thai Navy divers died in trying to help with the rescue efforts. He lost consciousness on his way out of the cave. He had been delivering air tanks. So here is an experienced Navy diver who did not make it. And so you got to look at this and go, how are these kids ever going to make it? If he couldn't make it, and what do? Do you take a chance and hope that, well, maybe we can save half of them? Okay, we'll let the other six die or what? I mean, I don't know what. So it's one of those where I don't know if you are a diver. I don't know if you get into these, if you do those cave expeditions. I don't know what your thoughts are about how do you possibly do this. And I don't know how far down this is, but I clearly remember stories. I remember one in particular of a little girl that had fallen into a well. And it was in Texas. And I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was October of 1987. And the reason why I remember was it was during a week in October, and I was about ready. I was doing local television news at the time. And the market on that Friday had dropped 100 points. And back in 1987, a 100-point drop was huge. I know I'm on a tangent, but trust me, you'll see why. So I was supposed to go on as the financial guy and talk about the 100-point drop and what was going to happen on Monday or what was going to happen the next week. And luckily, they broke format because we went live to Texas with the rescue of this little girl. They had drilled a well right next to the hole that she fell down into, and they drilled that thing, got down there, went through the side to get into the well where she was and rescued her and pulled her up, and we carried it live. I'm glad they carried it live because I did not know what the market was going to do on Monday. And Monday, the market had the biggest crash in the history of Wall Street. So I remember the date and I remember the circumstances. But that's just one of these stories where little children fall in wells and they rescue them. So I'm wondering, why don't they have an oil driller show up with some drilling rigs and start drilling away? I don't know what the hang-up is. There's even a story today about Elon Musk, the guy, yes, the guy who, Tesla guy, the SpaceX guy. He wants to, he has a boring company. He wants to bore holes so they can have high-speed hyperloops under cities instead of trains on the ground. And so he's got this big boring machine, and now Elon Musk is sending a team to help in the cave rescue. And he's got this boring company, which is tech, it's all tech, but anyway, he's got also heavy-duty battery packs. He's got power walls. He's got technology to pump water. So I don't know whether he's going to be the hero of the day or not, but I don't know what you think will happen here. And I don't know if any of you have, if you're a scuba diver, what do you think of an untrained person never having been a scuba diver, slap a tank and a mask on them? How small of a tank or oxygen can you put on somebody? And those of you that are cave dwellers, by the way, the BBC has a map of this thing. Says it's a 5-hour journey if you're diving in line with the current. It's a 6-hour journey if you're diving against the current. So this is not some hold your breath for 30 seconds and take a dive. What do you think? What's the big plan for the rescue? Phone number is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Nope, this is not a talk show opinionated. What do you think as far as President Trump or any? This is just how do you save the kids?
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call them like I see them.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
So it's a story that is full of mystery and suspense, and unfortunately, it's not a TV show. It's 12 boys and their coach. Their lives are on the line. And this monsoon that's supposed to be in the forecast is supposed to be Sunday tie time, which means sometime tomorrow afternoon for most of us here in the U.S. So how do we rescue these kids? I got a Mike, also known as Proof, sends me a tweet. You can follow me on Twitter, at Sullivan Radio, says, Tom, stalactites with a T hang down. Stalagmites with a M point up. Picture the shape of the letter. What's the matter, Mike? What's the matter with the pointy things that hang down and the pointy things that... No, thank you. You sound more professional. The stalactites, or whatever you say. I don't know. I'm not a cave dweller. Phone number is 855-295-6600. There's our friend Dominic in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Tom. How are you? Listen, I'm staying out of politics. I just don't want to deal with it. But let me just briefly tell you, I trained with the Thai military back in the 60s.
And, you did.
We have one of the largest special forces bases in the world in Korat, Thailand. And the other thing is, when you say, like, when they rescued baby Jessica, I don't think you've ever been up in Chiang Mai, Thailand. It's not exactly Texas. It's some of the most inhospitable country in the world. It's a dense jungle with mountains. But I believe in my heart. And it's not politics, it's just a statement. If our president wasn't so busy running around having campaign rallies, he would have put one of those generals on the ground, told him, go get those kids. And that whole thing about scuba tanks, Tom, you think in the 50s, they have rebreathing apparatus now that's the size of a lunchbox. And
really?
Six Navy SEALs could be in that cave in an hour and get them kids out six at a time in 2 hours. And it's about time we did something. We have the best best trained military in the world.
I know we do.
We could get those kids out of there.
But it's not our country, and last time I checked, you kind of have to ask. You need an invitation. You can't just show up.
Tom, we've been there. We've been there since 57. I told you we got the largest special forces base in Korat, Thailand.
We used that
air base to bomb Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia for years. There's still to this day special forces troops that train the Thai military. And it's an interesting thing here. Thailand's the only country in the world that's never been colonized by anybody. And the Thai military are some crackerjack guys. So I just think that if we would do just how about one big humanitarian act instead of all of this nonsense we're doing all the time, bombing places and killing people. That's my thought.
Well, I don't want to get to politics in either, but I would love to have our people go. But isn't that an insult to what you are saying is that these are crackerjack military in Thailand? It's like, step aside, boys. We know what we're doing. You don't.
No. It would be a joint operation. We've been running joint operations with them. In fact, we sent Thai military guys down to Malaysia to go through SAS training. I know. I went with them. My Thai jump wings are one of my proudest possessions. We've been on joint operations with them since 1957.
So makes me wonder, as you talk, Dominic, whether or not maybe we do have people there.
There's no question about maybe. PACCOM is in Tampa, Florida, Korat Island, and Okinawa.
I'm talking about at the cave.
God, there might be somebody coming from Guatemala. Oh, no. Okay, never mind. Don't let me get going. Thank you, Tom.
All right, Dominic, thank you. Always an interesting story. I appreciate the call. We only have 30 seconds, so not enough time to be fair to another caller. Scuba divers, what's this about a lunchbox size oxygen unit? But whatever size it is, these guys, you've seen these kids, they're all thin. They're eating now, but I mean, they look like they're just naturally, they're soccer players. So they're thin kids, but can you put something on them and have them squeeze through these rocks?
News Radio KFBK, an iHeart Radio station. First with Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather.
Good afternoon. It's 12:30. I'm Dana Hess, News Radio KFBK. Containment on the county fire has increased overnight, and federal and state officials touring immigration facilities on both sides of the
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Thanks for coming by. Very, very critical operation going on at that Thai cave where the soccer team of 12 boys and their coach are trapped. I was just looking at the weather. By the way, Thailand is 11 hours ahead of New York, so it's 3:35. That means it's 2:35 in the morning. Saturday morning there right now. I'm looking at the weather, and Sunday it starts raining, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's heavy rains and thunderstorms. So I presume that is the monsoon. It starts raining Sunday, but the monsoon really comes, looks like, on Monday, and then every day thereafter for the next week. You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. John Carlton sends me a tweet, says, the Marines did a superb job. Thai Marines did a superb job during the Vietnam conflict. Southeast Asia is almost all mountain terrain, so getting drilling gear in may be a problem. Well, what did we use in Vietnam? We used helicopters. So I presume there's helicopters that can be used if that terrain is so steep, that's probably how they do a lot of their work there. I don't know. Those of you who have been to Thailand know more than I do. I've never been there. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Mark, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Yes. Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Well, good. Thank you. You know, I've been following this story a little bit myself, and being a licensed scuba diver and kind of, you know, interested in the sport as a, you know, I wouldn't say professional, but amateur level. What it reminds me of is there was a very famous story of a fellow who was a top cave diver in the world. I saw this on YouTube. It was a documentary, and he was going to go down into a 300, something between 200 and 300 foot deep cave. And he had all the professional gear to go down to that depth to retrieve the body of another professional cave diver who died in the bottom of this deep, deep crevasse. And now keep in mind, Tom, no current. Water temperature was more or less constant. They couldn't see very well, but he could see well enough. He only had a few minutes to stay at the bottom, and this fellow perished, diving straight down into a deep cave. And what happened to him was he got entangled in some lines down there, and he couldn't fight his way out, and he drowned. And he was the top cave diver in the world, going to retrieve another cave diver professional.
Yeah. So what you said, the point of the story is that this cave diving is very, very dangerous. I'm looking at the cross section of this cave, and it looks like they are about 100 feet. Yeah, the entrance where they get into, and then you get down to the lowest part just before where the boys are on this shelf, is 100 feet lower than the entrance. Now it looks like about the lowest spot.
So from what I understand, when the cave was available to enter without water, they somehow wanted to do some exploration, and they crawled and climbed their way through stalactites, through stalagmites, and through openings. You're saying to me that they could only get through squeezing maybe on their side and kind of inching through?
Some of those spots were,
Boy, yeah, they're, yeah. And, you know, this guy was talking about a rebreathing unit. You know, for a young boy who's never been, some of them don't know how to swim, you've told me.
Right.
You've told me that it's something like 5 hours or 4 or 5 hours with current against.
Yeah.
Boy, and having to squeeze through. You know, Tom, I think the only way they're going to get him out of there is if they use one of those junior or very small scuba tanks that have the compressed air in it, and somebody basically follows them and holds the tank and pushes the tank through some of these openings as these kids inch their way through. But any kind of other stuff that scuba divers normally use, you know, the buoyancy compensator, they call it, which is a big bulky vest to keep you buoyancy in the water. And all that stuff, none of that will work because they wouldn't have room for it.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the water temperature is there either, Tom, because that's another big thing. That's why scuba divers, you know, in the rubber suits, you always see them, because the water temperature, if it's too cold, you know, you will freeze. You will die from hypothermia.
I don't know why the Thai Navy SEAL diver that died lost consciousness on his way out is the only explanation. So I don't know what. Why did he lose consciousness? Was it hypothermia? Was it?
I bet you it was a combination of hypothermia and over pushing himself too much. Just pushing himself too much.
Because the weather.
Because if I was thinking about that, if that water temperature is very cold, they're going to be in real trouble trying to fit them with some kind of suits.
And this is mountainous territory. Yeah. The outside weather. is basically around 90 every day and in the mid-70s at night. So the climate is warm, but what's the water under the mountain like? Is that, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be super freezing. No, that's, well, I'm glad you said that, because if the temperature there seasonally is very high, which I was just thinking about it now, it is a tropical area along the equator there. Not
well, and,
far.
And in addition,
so
remember,
right,
this isn't this water isn't from a mountain lake where, you know, you might experience really cold mountain lakes in a hot summer day.
Yeah.
But this is rainwater. That's what happened, where they had a monsoon storm. And it flooded them.
It flooded
the cave
them and pushed them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they fled inward to try and escape the water rising.
Right.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tom, I'll tell you, they're in a real pickle. Like I said,
they are.
Drilling to them and getting gear to them would be awfully difficult. I think the only way, and I'm sure they don't remember the way they came in after all of this. I'm sure they don't remember the way they came in. They're going to have somebody follow them. And, Tom, if already a professional, one of their scuba divers from the Thai, either military or whatever, passed away, I don't think it's looking too good, to tell you the honest truth. I hate to be a naysayer, but...
No, but drill a hole as fast as you possibly can.
Well, that's true. Drill a hole. That's true.
All right,
Tom. Well, thank you
so much
for having me on the show.
Appreciate your call very, very much. Dr. Mark Siegel at the NYU Langone Medical Center says that even though the teenage soccer team was found, getting them out will be a big problem. Cut one.
Huge challenges, because you have to understand that there's a monsoon going on. This is monsoon season. So even as rescuers are trying to pump out water, there's the risk of more water coming in, and they have to make a strategic decision when to try to get them out. And it has been reported by Greg Palcott and others, if they don't try to get them out, it may be months before the waters recede enough to actually get them out on their own. Now, if the pumps work and there isn't a lot of rain, it will get a lot easier to get them out. One point I want to make, Molly, here is about group cohesiveness and mental fortitude, because I think it's being overlooked that they already went 9 days, not knowing when anyone would come. And they were drinking water off of stalactites from the ceiling of the cave, didn't have any food, and yet they clung together, held together, and kept calm. If you're calm, you take better precautions. If you panic, you take fewer precautions. That's what's going to predict the future here. Can they remain calm?
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what kind of teamwork they actually come up with on this. You're underwater, you can't see, you don't know how to swim. They've got some sort of mask on you with some sort of oxygen. It's, I don't know how they can try and get out that cave. I think they've got to drill a hole. 855-295-6600. Be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
You can find my email address by going to my website, TomSullivan.com. Bob says, drill, baby, drill. Being raised in coal mining country in central Pennsylvania, the only way for these kids is to drill. This drone for trap miners, they drilled some holes. One for, one being smaller, one able to get down quicker. Air, food, all that sort of stuff can be supplied there. One of the problems they're having is that the oxygen level in this cave at the end where these kids are perched on this rock, the oxygen level has fallen to about 15%. And they're worried about that. They've supplied them with food and oxygen, but the usual level is oxygen you and I breathe, apparently, is around 21%. It's down to 15%. And dropping in this cave. So that's another issue. Key in San Ramon, California. Hi, Key.
Yeah, Tom, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm I'm listening to your program a lot. Hey, in regard to this And I'm from Asia, all right? I play soccer out in the mountain area. Sometimes they get flash flood.
Yes.
Now, the Marine already go in and out of the cave. When there's an oxygen, they already have a scuba thing that could bring it in. So oxygen level is not an issue. It's just a news thing.
Okay.
Okay. Second of all, is they should be able to do like a mountain climbing people that use the rope. So those diver already use a rope to go in and out, to follow the rope.
Right, so that you won't get, you'll follow, you'll know exactly where you are, you've got the rope, you can follow that, and that will get you the best path, yes.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Right. Now the kids do not have to use a scuba, because that's a very difficult adjustment in the mouthpiece. You know, human being instinct is to breathe through their nose, okay? If you're not used to it, putting a mouthpiece in your mouth, you're going to get panicked.
Well, right.
Remember how you could put a diver, you could put a dome on their head? It's a tankless system.
So they have some system, right. but it'd be small enough to get through?
Yeah. Well, tankless system, they put it on their head like a dome, and they got a hose attached to it, so they breathe normally, just like regular things.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
And then attach them like a mountaineer. You know how you climb up the mountain? You attach yourself into a rope. You take the kids two at a time. Follow the rope, and an adult or whatever, pull them along.
So let me ask you something. You said
running on the outside.
You said you're from. Is it that area? You said Asia. Where in Asia are you from?
Indonesia, Southeast Asia.
Okay. So is this?
That's water murky.
That's what I was thinking. You can't see.
Oh, yeah, you can't see. That's why people already in and out of that cave. Obviously, they already have a rope people to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're bringing supplies in. And I don't know. I've often wondered why if these divers have gone in and brought these supplies, why haven't they taken one kid out with them when they go out? But I don't know.
That's correct. Because they can, I think a lot of people, when you talk to, people that call you also, thinking that you're going to use a scuba. No, don't need a scuba. It's a pain in the butt. Use a tankless, one of those people with the dome. They got a compressor on the outside. You just put their head with the whatever it takes to lock them in, on the shoulder strap. Drag them.
All right. I don't know. I do appreciate your call very, very much. I hope there's a solution. Let's talk to Lauren, who's been waiting patiently. Lauren, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
So I've been diving for about 16 years now. I started when I was 10.
Okay.
It is going to be very difficult for them to pull them out the diving route. Very difficult. Those kids, they're already at low oxygen. Even if they brought oxygen into the cave, it's not going to be enough to boost up their stamina and their strength to swim 6 hours against current up a tiny little path out of the cave. It's going to be almost near to impossible. I think the only way you can really get them out is to drill, but with what's going on with the weather, that doesn't look like a promising option either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it yeah, it's not. I think people don't understand the scope and size of the distance.
Exactly.
It's huge. 5 hour journey at least with the current, and 6 hours against the current, and you're 100 feet below the entrance, going down, up and down through narrow parts that are too narrow, they say, to wear scuba tanks. There's four areas that are flooded. They got to get through four challenging areas in order to make it out.
Right. And, when I was younger, I dove with a junior scuba tank, so I heard that option already. The tank isn't going to be able to fit with that body, with the person and the diver helping assist to go through that small spot. Normally, you don't even dive for 5 to 6 hours in the water anyways. You stay about an hour down there. What really is the issue is going to be decompression or nitrogen buildup in the body. even if they're not down at a deep level, for an unskilled diver, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. Well, they're not that deep where you get the bends is what you're talking about, but just reduced oxygen levels.
Exactly.
Well, you're breathing, your heart rate goes up. And at some point, it completely affects your judgment. You have no idea what you're doing. So
hopefully we can all collaborate together and maybe send out a team like Elon, how he's going to go on out there. If he can drill holes fast enough through this weather, we might be able to get him out.
I hope so. I hope somebody does. I think the hole is the only way to get this thing done. All right, Lauren, thank you.
They're not going to be able to do that. No problem.
Thank you very much. Diana in San Pablo, California. Hello, Diana.
Hi, I'm a happy deplorable here in San Pablo.
Good.
The reason I called was about 40 years ago, I walked through a mountain called the Sinks of Gandy in West Virginia. We were not prepared, stupidly, my husband and I. I think we had one flashlight. Maybe we didn't have any flashlights. I can't remember. I remember being led by someone who had a flashlight through the caves.
Yeah.
And we went through waist-deep water. This was August, and that water was cold as ice.
Oh.
So those kids are looking at ice-cold water as well as trying to get through pond after pond after pond to get out.
Yeah. Well, that's why I keep looking and going. I hope they find a way to drill a hole to save these kids, because I don't see the water rescue being possible. But I got to hit my break. Diane, you got the last word for the hour. We'll take a short break. Pray for the kids in Thailand, and we'll be right back.